Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of your favorite podcast, the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only nonsensical podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Oh my goodness, it feels so good to be back out here on the airwaves, entertaining all of you folks that are listening. I gotta be quite honest with you, November was a really terrible month for me. I think that I alluded to it on my last very short episode that I did not too long ago, that I've been feeling under the weather and things have just gotten a little bit worse. So just the other day, I decided to stop messing around. You know, I went to a doctor at the end of October and I was told that I had some acid reflux issues. However, as of just yesterday, I decided to go to another doctor to seek a second opinion because I continued to be sick and continued to be sick. And so right now, the idea, the theory, the hypothesis of what's wrong with yours truly is that I may have an ulcer that is caused by H. pylori bacteria. So basically what that means is that there's some bacteria that somehow has gotten into my system and it settles in your stomach. And basically it causes peptic ulcers. The problem with it is that you can take all kinds of medicine and the symptoms get better and you feel better, but the root cause is still in your stomach. So it looks like that I will be probably visiting another doctor real quick to make absolute certain that that is exactly what's wrong with me. And if that's the case, then it's going to be a month-long antibiotic treatment, and that should destroy that bacteria, and I should be back to feeling normal again. Let me just tell you, it's been pretty brutal. You know, I feel awful in the mornings, which is a symptom of this type of ulcer, because you have an empty stomach. I feel horrible in the morning, and it takes me a good 3 or 4 hours before I start feeling better. Just stomach achy, burpy, bathroom issues. I mean, it's been miserable. And I actually am relieved that I at least have a strong possibility that it could be this particular issue, which, of all the types of ulcers to have, the doctor stated that this is probably one of the easier ones to get over. So I'm ecstatic for that news. Like I said, I have another appointment this week to make absolute certain that this is the issue, and hopefully by then I'll have a plan of attack to get back on the road to feeling good and feeling healthy and just living life like I've been used to. So anyways, with all of that out of the way, I want to talk about my guest for this edition, number 82 of the PVD Cast. I'm going to sit down and talk to the most huggable wrestler in the world. That's right, Mr. Brian Castle. He's a gentleman that wrestles out of Toledo, Ohio. I know Brian. I met him, I'd say, probably 5-6 years ago. He would come to several OCW events. And a great dude, real talented wrestler. Many of you may know him from, of course, his time on Prime Wrestling, which was, you know, broadcast all around Ohio and, heck, even other markets. But we sit down and we talk about a lot of different things, including the state of independent wrestling in the state of Ohio. He has some very interesting opinions and ideas about it. But before we get to my conversation with Brian Castle, let me just clue you in about one other small thing, that being staunch ambition. What the heck is that, you may ask? Well, it's an awesome science fiction fantasy graphic novel that has been produced by Mr. Brian Lau. And if you don't know who that is, you need to go back to the archive section and listen to episodes 68 and 58 to get clued in on this awesome graphic novel. Now, Brian has been all over the Midwest telling people about it, going to different comic book conventions and telling them all about his great creation. Well, you can get your hands on the preview issue simply by going to staunchambition.com. In fact, Brian this week has some really big news. And you can find out about that big news just by going to that website, staunchambition.com. All right? Some cool things are happening with that book. And definitely, folks, if you want to get in on the ground level, so to speak, with this project, buy yourself a preview issue. Simply go to staunchambition.com or go on over to the link section of my website and you'll see that there's a link right there. You click and bam, you're right to the website. So, with that being said, let us take a very short break, and on the other side of this musical interlude, you're going to hear my talk with Brian Castle. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. Of course, it's John Orlando sitting down here with Mr. Brian Castle. Brian, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it as well. I guess maybe, would it be fair to call you the most huggable man in professional wrestling?
I prefer the world's most huggable wrestler, but yes, I am fairly huggable. That is true.
Okay. What's the pros and cons of being most huggable?
The pros and cons are pretty much the same. Everybody wants to hug you.
Oh, okay.
No matter what time, you know, everybody wants to see, you know, I'm in the middle of dinner. Hey, you're the world's most huggable wrestler. Are you really? And then they just hug me.
Oh.
Then conversely, at shows, it's awesome because the fans, they're all amazing and they want hugs, high fives, the whole nine. And, you know, I just really enjoy it. Like, if I can make one person happy, I'm happy. You know what I mean?
Has it ever gotten creepy? Like you're standing at the urinal and a person comes in and goes, hug me!
Not that creepy, but it has been at like the most inopportune times.
Okay.
Especially at shows. After the show, I'm trying to go home. And then here comes a 30-year-old man. Trying to, not the kind of person I want to hug me right now, but here you go, bud.
That's good stuff. Well, I'm going to start off here and just ask, how did you get in this crazy business?
You know, I think it's a very similar tale to everybody. You know, we were all fans as kids. You know, I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I remember my first show. I was 6 years old. Toledo Sports Arena. I'm from Toledo. And the main event, Ultimate Warrior versus Million Dollar Man.
Nice.
And it was at that point I knew I was like, I want to be a wrestler.
Who were some of your favorites as a kid?
I mean, as a kid, Ultimate Warrior was awesome. I loved Hulk Hogan. I was a big WWF guy.
Okay.
Mr. Perfect was a favorite of mine just because, you know, you gotta have like one bad guy, you know what I mean? And I thought he was an amazing guy in the ring, just awesome to watch. And then once I got in the business, obviously, you learn a lot more from him.
Sure.
And then, you know, so Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Mr. Perfect. I loved Crush for some reason. I thought it was amazing. And then, I did watch WCW. So, I mean, Sting was a great guy to watch when I was a kid. And then, I just loved wrestling, period.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big wrestling fan, period, all through growing up.
So would that be, do you think that the reason why you liked wrestling so much, maybe very similar to many people, is the over-the-top characters? They were like superheroes to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a nice escape for me when I was a kid, you know, because, you know, you could, every Monday, every Saturday at 6:05, be there and they were going to have, amazing matches, and it was going to be over the top, and it was going to be very entertaining, and I think that's exactly what I loved about it.
Can I ask, you loved Sting, did you like cool blonde-haired surfer Sting or the Crow Sting? Which was your preferred Sting, if you will?
I like them both for different reasons, but I was a big fan of Surfer Sting.
So was I. That's my favorite. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that was always my favorite, too, as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's like, just to get off wrestling for 2 seconds, to say, Kevin Smith always is a big Batman fan.
Right, yeah.
And he always says, you remember your first Batman. So conversely, in my theory, you always remember your first Sting.
Which is the most ridiculous theory, not to discredit you, but
no, not at all. You got to remember, you got Surfer Sting, you got Pro Sting, you got
Wolfpack Sting,
you got Joker Sting from TNA,
right?
And you got Old Man Sting from WWE.
I just thought that that's the phrase that probably no one's ever heard. What's your favorite sting? Yeah. All right. Anyways. So when did you decide that you were going to get into this business?
I was, I decided I was, when I was 12, but I started,
yes.
When I was seriously looking, I was 18. I had just gotten out of high school and, you know, I was looking around at schools. I just didn't have the money at the time. And then actually this guy who I worked with in a bar in Toledo, I found out he was a wrestler. And he helped me find a school in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
And I started training in January of 06.
And what school was that? Who trained you? Let's talk a little bit about this, if you don't mind.
My trainer was a wrestler from Toledo named Dick Nasty. He was the Homeless Avenger Dick Nasty. And it was just a small school run out of Toledo, Ohio, at the Outlaw Pro Wrestling School. Which, for the record, the promotion it was ran with, absolute garbage. But I did learn a lot from Dick Nasty. His name's Roger. I learned a lot from Roger. I learned the basics, and it got me helped me build a good base to start from.
Okay, all right. If I remember correctly, did your trainer work quite a bit with Millennium up there in the Northwest
yes.
area of
yes.
Ohio?
Okay. He's actually one of the owners of Millennium Wrestling Federation.
Okay.
And a member of the Homeless Avengers with Dick Nasty and Grady. Yep.
Okay. So from there, you got the basics from that particular set of training. Did you go elsewhere to start learning more and honing in on your craft?
Yeah, I learned a lot on the road.
Okay.
You know, I learned a lot about psychology on the road and you know, I ended up meeting Mr. Main Event,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who's one of the most underrated minds in the area, if you ask me. And then about, I want to say it's like 6 years ago now, I met up with CK3, Conrad Kennedy III, who now wrestles as Crimson. And he took me under his wing, and he took a liking to me because we ran in the same circles. And he started helping me out, getting me on shows, working out with me. And then that's how I met up with Scott D'Amore, Tyson Dukes. And I started training with those guys and learning a lot from them and being able to rely on them for advice.
And many folks that are listening to this podcast may remember CK3 from his time in Fire and Ice Wrestling to Prime to, I mean, the guys wrestled everywhere. In the state of Ohio and elsewhere, but I mean,
the world. He's traveled all over the world.
Exactly. Very, very talented, incredibly gifted, and quite frankly, you know, you talk about various different ways in which you can present a character. He's a fine example of it. I mean, he, you know, being Conrad Kennedy III, kind of this snotty heel, if you will, and then playing the role of Crimson, which is a kind of a weird, crazy madman, does a very good job with all of those, and a truly talented guy.
Absolutely. He's one of my best friends and one of the best guys I've ever seen wrestle. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the places you've been. You've wrestled quite a bit throughout Northwest Ohio, Northeast Ohio, the Cleveland area, up into Michigan, and now into Canada. But what's your thoughts on the scene in the state of Ohio, if you will? Let's start there, because I know you have some opinions about it. So,
you know, it's sad, because quite honestly, I wrestle for one promotion in the state of Ohio, and that's Powerbomb Championship Wrestling in Toledo. That's kind of like my home base in Toledo, in Ohio. But for the most part, there's maybe four, maybe five really good promotions that run in the state of Ohio. And then there's a lot of garbage, you know, there's just, it's anyone who pays the commission can run a wrestling show. And that's not how it should be. You know, you got great promotions like AIW, War, and Lima, excuse me. And, OCW, was one of my personal favorites. And you got Rockstar now. But other than that, it's those guys, including Powerbomb and everybody else, you know, because there's a lot of garbage, especially in like these small towns who are trying to just make a quick buck off the fans. and I don't think it's right, you know, because a lot of these promotions don't pay the wrestlers properly, they don't promote properly, they'll try and swerve all the customers into thinking they're getting a show that they're not going to get.
And in the long run, it hinders pro wrestling, period. And no matter if the company's a large company, a small company, when you don't do things the right way, it leaves a bad taste in the mouth of the fans, and then ultimately you've alienated them, and quite frankly, you've hurt the business in the larger scheme of things.
Right. By having these shows that leave bad tastes in the fans' mouths, it's going to hurt the promotions that are good that want to try and bring wrestling to these towns to show them, like, hey, there's actually good wrestling here, but they've already been burned, so they don't come. They stay at home. They spend their money somewhere else.
So what would be the number one thing? Let's pretend for a minute you have the option to promote a show. What would be the first thing that you do? What's the most important thing you would do?
Licensed wrestlers.
Okay.
You know, it's and actually licensed. It's not just, hey, you fill out this form, you spend $50, and there you go. It's you have to the commission has to research these wrestlers and the promoters, and make sure that everything's on the level, and these guys aren't just fly-by-night promoters or just, you know, once-a-month wrestlers.
So basically you're saying that would be something a little more state-oriented, if you will? That would be what you would like to see done, kind of, if the...
Yeah, I'd like the commission to be more involved instead of just, here's your money, okay, here's your permit. Enjoy your... Because that's, quite frankly, that's how the Ohio State Athletic Commission is nowadays. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? You bring up a very interesting point, because I would say, and I'm going to play devil's advocate, I'm going to say that other folks might say, well, if you want them to be a little more active, then that means more tax money going to it, more administration costs, more government, if you will, and I don't want to get into a giant government debate, you know, and all that jazz. But I think that what you're proposing is interesting. I don't discount that, but I also am wondering, like, somebody else might say, well, yeah, man, but that's just more bureaucracy, if you will.
You know, and absolutely, you know, I mean, I'm a guy who's for the government being involved in decision making, but not in our personal lives. That's a personal political belief, but you know, but it once again, like you said, if it's more tax money, if it's more more funds just going to the state to run these shows because they're getting more involved, that's fine. Simply because now it's not $150, it's $500 to run a show, and you're not going to get these fly by night promoters who are just going to try and run a show. You're going to get these good promoters who know how to promote. You're going to get these good promoters who know that they're going to draw these tickets because they're one of the only shows in town, and they're going to be able to afford that. And with the boys, sure, you'll have to pay the licensing fee, but in the end, you know you're going to be working for a good promoter who's going to pay, who's going to, and then you're going to be able to sell your merchandise to these fans because they're going to draw, and it's going to help everybody in the long run.
I got to be honest, I'm really blown away by this discussion because, it's a very interesting point. And by all means, we know it's happened for years. Sadly, it'll probably continue to happen for years that anybody, as I said, any Tom, Dick, and Harry that wants to run a show can run a show.
And you know what? I said it before we went on air. But you know what? Right now, coming up is going to be the time where you see a lot of the biggest, as I like to call them, shindies. one of the biggest shindy times of the year, because it's tax season. So a lot of people are going to get a lot of these wrestling fans are going to get their tax return and say, hey, I can run a wrestling show. And then they're not going to draw. And then the boys get hurt, because if they don't draw and they just decide to run off with the money, there's the boys getting left high and dry.
Yeah. All right, well, let's maybe shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about another particular promotion that you've had quite a bit of success in, and that is ICW out in Western Pennsylvania.
Now, IWC.
IWC. What did I say?
ICW. It's okay.
Sorry, I'm a tad bit dyslexic this afternoon.
Not a problem. I just
How about we'll go International Wrestling Cartel?
Perfect. That works too.
There we go. Oh, well. So you've had a lot of success out there in Western PA, which, for many folks that remember, IWC run by Norm Connors for many, many years. And is Norm still in charge? But I don't think he is. Is he?
He is not. It's currently run by Justin Plummer.
Okay. All right. But you've had some success out there in a tag team with Jock Sampson, Bearded for Your Pleasure.
I've also had some of them, a lot of fun.
Well, we'll get into that. You're the current IWC tag team champions.
Yes.
How long have you guys held those belts? Because I'm thinking it's a good 5 months, 6 months?
Since May. We won
them in May. Okay. So whose idea was it to team up? Was it Jock's? Yours? Was it somebody else's?
It was a lucky happenstance.
Okay.
I showed up at a show, and this is actually a good story for young wrestlers to hear, because it proves the point that you never know what's going to happen, but if you should always be going to shows. I was going because I was trying to get a gig there, I went to one of their smaller shows, and Jock was on it, and his tag partner had health problems, and he wasn't able to make the show. He had a health emergency, he couldn't make the show. So they came to me and said, hey, you have your gear? I said, yes. They said, okay, you're going to be in a tag match with Jock Sampson. And I was super ecstatic because I love Jock. I've known him for years. One of the greatest guys in the business. And we tagged up. We clicked right away. We did a Rock and Roll Express double dropkick in our match. And we were off and running. And after the match, the promoter loved it. Justin loved it. And said, I think we're going to stick with you guys as a tag team. And from there, we won the belt in May. And it's been going strong ever since.
And you've had a big rivalry with the STDs, the sexy, talented dudes.
Yes.
Why do you think you guys have such a great, great rivalry? Do you think it's just the mix of the four competitors in there?
You know, it's a mix. Our personalities clashed very well, and chest flexors and Corey Futuristic are great talents. And it was a good visual because they're smaller, but they're quicker, and we're large and more powerful, obviously. Even though Jock likes to fly, so.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that. It's on my list of things to mention. It's a bullet point. In August, you got to be part of what probably was the hottest trending topic, at least for a couple of weeks. And that
is
Jock Sampson's suicide dive.
Almost literally.
Oh, yes, almost literally. dare I say, you mentioned Kevin Smith. I can only think of one quote from Mallrats. Fly, fat ass, fly. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what were your thoughts when this went down? What did you think? Did you think he died?
I thought he got messed up. I did. Yeah. I was worried, and I was like, please don't be dead, please don't be dead, please don't be dead. And then he was up, and I was like, okay, back to the match. But it's funny because like in those situations in the ring where something happens that you didn't expect. Time kind of slowed down for me. I thought he was down for about a minute and a half. And then I watched the clip, and he was legitimately only down for 10 seconds. So, just goes to show, like, time can slow down when you're worried about someone in there. And then I was just really happy that he was all right. And I told him, I was like, you're not allowed to dive for 6 months. You're on a 6-month diving ban.
So, if I may, that was a planned spot for you guys' match. The Jock in the back had decided that's what he was going to do.
He knew he was going to dive. Yeah, he knew he was going to dive. He did not expect to go out as far as he did. He told me in the back, because if you see in the video, I'm holding the ropes open for him because I'm trying to make sure he doesn't get his feet caught in the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
It's bound to happen sometimes. Instead of going straight out, he went up. He dove up instead of just straight out, as you should in a suicide dive. And when he did, he got more air than he expected and landed on some unfortunate fans. But luckily, the fans, they were awesome. They were big IWC fans, and they were happy to be Jock's crash pad.
Do you have any notion to do any suicide dives?
Maybe. I can't say no. You know, if the chance is there, I can't say yes or no. Yeah, I guess you gotta come to IWC and find out.
Carpe diem, right?
Yeah, seize the day, my friend.
You travel a lot to Canada.
Yes, I'm very fortunate, yeah.
So can you maybe compare and contrast some of the wrestling fans of Canada versus the fans of the United States? Is there a difference? Are all wrestling fans the same?
There's a lot less cursing from the fans in Canada.
Really?
Well, I mean, Canadians are just so nice. It's funny.
Is that the best part of Canada? The people?
Everywhere I go, the people are the best part, in all honesty. But it's very similar and yet different at the same time, because in Canada, I mean, most of these people have grown up on wrestling their whole lives,
mm-hmm.
because wrestling's so huge in Canada, you know.
Yep.
Especially in Windsor, where you got Border City. Then if you go out to Winnipeg, it's Stampede and Calgary and stuff. But they respect what we do. I don't want to say a lot more, but they have a finer appreciation for it, I believe. You know, because they know, like, we're out here, especially from a guy who's coming from the States, they respect that a lot. Immediately, that puts you over because you're willing to travel
mm-hmm.
6-7 hours and go through customs just to do your craft. You know what I mean? And that shows, and I greatly appreciate it.
Have you had any issues with customs? Because, you know, there's always those tales from guys coming from Michigan over into Windsor or wherever, that there's always one custom agent that takes a little umbrage and decides to flex their muscles, so to speak. Have you had any problems crossing the border?
You know what? I've been very lucky. I have never had an issue with customs going to a show. I was turned away once when I was going up to the Can-Am Wrestling School to train. But that's because a friend of ours was just going to hang out, and she had pepper spray. And you're not allowed to bring pepper spray into Canada. That's considered a weapon. So we got turned away that day. But other than that, I haven't really had an issue. And for anybody wanting to go to Canada to wrestle, they should know this. Last year, the regulations changed, and we no longer require a work visa to go wrestle in Canada. You're able to say, hey, I'm going to a wrestling show to perform, and they should say, okay, you're good. If not, you'll have to go to immigration, but they already know that you're good.
So you still have to have a passport, though, correct, or no?
You have to have a passport, but you do not have to have a work visa anymore.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, I thought that they changed the rules there a few years ago, that you still had to have a passport to enter into Canada,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unlike way back in the day. Which was the last time I was in Canada, was pre-9/11, so they didn't care.
Yeah, where you have a birth certificate, yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, so how, you got any crazy road stories driving up there to Canada, or out to Pennsylvania, or wherever you go? You got any crazy road stories?
I mean, Canada, obviously, it's a cold, cold land, and it was myself, CK3, Tyson Dukes, and then a guy for John Boland, who's from Pennsylvania, but he lives primarily in between Windsor and Pennsylvania. We were traveling to Buffalo, and we were cutting through Canada, and it was the first snowstorm of the year.
Uh-oh.
And there's a stretch on the 401, which is the main highway that goes from Windsor to Toronto. There's a stretch on there that is the highest snow area in Ontario. So we're driving, and it's probably like 1 a.m, and it is a complete whiteout. It looks like you're going down the road, and it looks like Star Wars. You're going light speed because there's snow just constantly, and it probably a foot of snow happened in this first snowfall. So it's all four of us. We're all pretty much at the windshield, even the guys in the back, just trying to make sure we could see any lines, make sure there's no cars, because it's a legitimate whiteout, and it turned a 4-hour drive into about a 7-hour drive. But it was also fun because, you know, we're all looking, and everyone's trying to keep each other awake, so we're cracking jokes, we're listening to music at a respectable level, because you gotta pay attention more, and it's just a good bonding experience, because you know that it, at the end of the day, those guys have your back, and that it meant a lot to me, but it was scary to say the least.
Gotcha. Any other road stories besides that one? Any crazy hijinks that you've seen?
I mean, it's one of those things, like, we have, whenever you're in the on the road, you have a lot of fun, you have your certain things that'll keep you entertained, like, when I travel, I travel with CK3 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he and I, it's like we're married on the road, you know? we always have, like, stupid songs that we listen to and just belt out, and then I'm sure we look like insane human beings to anybody driving past us. Our personal favorite is Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon.
Nice.
The Downeaster Alexa by Billy Joel, which is one of the saddest songs.
God, yes. Why do you two like that song?
Because, have you ever listened to the lyrics of that song?
Well, I mean, I haven't listened to it probably in several years, but go ahead, enlighten us.
So the Downeaster Alexa is about a fisherman who's out to sea and talking to passing boats, trying to get him to talk to his, tell his family when he gets ashore that he's out there and he's okay. But he's a fisherman who has no idea how to fish. He can't catch fish to save his life. And he's worried about losing his home, and he just has no idea where these fish are, because his father was a good fisherman, but he was pretty much just a guy who put bait on the hooks and has no idea what he's doing out there.
Is it because it's an analogy to indie wrestling? Is that why you guys like it so much?
I think it's just because it's so sad and stupid. I think that's more like it. But I mean, sure. I guess it could be a good idea.
I mean, think about it. There's people that don't know how to run promotions, but they're running promotions. So
there's so many. Yeah. Conversely, there's guys that don't know how to wrestle that are getting booked constantly. But you know.
That's another story.
That's another issue for another day. It's funny because it's just so goofy, and you know, we enjoy traveling with each other, and you know, guys like, I've been very lucky to travel with some of the people I've traveled with, like Rhino has been a great influence on me, and he's also one of the greatest guys to have in a car, you know, because he's always talking and he's always trying to get me riled up, because he loves to talk about politics, you know, and I tend to not.
Right.
But he's always just poke and prod and get going. And even if you agree with him on something, he loves to play the other side of the coin. Loves to play devil's advocate just for a little bit. And I've had 3-hour car rides with him where we're going, where we're just talking back and forth about one issue. And then he's like, yeah, you know, I agree with you. And I'm like, then why did we argue? What is wrong with you? He's like, it's just fun to me. So, but, I'm one of the most boring guys on the road, because I'm pretty much all business, for the most part, because I travel so far that as soon as I wrestle, I got to come back a lot of the times to make the next town. But I've definitely had a lot of fun with the guys, especially like going down to Lima and hanging out with those guys at war and those after parties, which
get wild.
They tend to get pretty crazy.
Do you know, the first time that I went to a war after party, I thought I stepped back in time. I thought that I was in the Carolinas in like 83.
It does have that feel, especially at the after parties. Yeah,
it does at the after party. You're like, I'm in this hotel bar, and lots of chicanery is going on, and someone's going to jail.
Yeah. Numerous times I thought that. There's, I guess my one favorite hotel after party would probably be the one where you walk in and then there's a wedding reception. You were just blown away that someone would bring a wedding reception to the hotel bar at the Howard Johnson in Lima. But then we're having fun. They're already drunk. We're getting there. And, I think that was the point where Ben Boone finally realized that, hey, we actually do love you, even though we pick on you a little bit. Because I've always considered, even though Boone's a year older than me, I've always considered him like a little brother.
Okay.
And, he's a member of the family. I'd give that guy the shirt off my back. You know, no questions asked.
Yeah, and for those folks that are thinking that we're blowing smoke, honestly, war after parties are crazy, in capital letters.
So, I'll tell this story about this about Boone. So I went to the restroom and I come back and Boone looks shaken up, and I ask him, I was like, "What's going on?" He tells me, "Yeah, this dude from the wedding party just came up to me and said, you know what? You look like a piece of shit." And I was like, "He said what?" Yeah, he wanted to fight me. I was like, "Where's this dude at? I'll end him." Like, no questions asked. Like, my face went from joking to nobody fucks with my boy Boone.
Okay.
And he told me, he's like, "No, dude, he's already gone. He's already gone." Because I guess while I was gone, when that guy came over to him, seven other wrestlers immediately swarmed around Boone, and this guy realized he made a giant mistake. And then his entire wedding party came up and was like, "Hey, man, probably don't want to do this." And they ushered him out. And then I later found out it was the groom. It was the groom who came up to the guy, to Boone, and tried to start crap with him. And, you know, I think it was good for everybody to realize, like, hey, we are a brotherhood. We are a family. And that's what I love the most about those, is that those are the shows where you realize, like, all right, we're all in this together. You know, we might wrestling against each other, but we're all in the same business together. And that's what I love about being on the road, that it shows that, you know, wrestling is a brotherhood. It's like a big fraternity.
So let me ask a kind of a personal question. How long did it take for you to grow the beard?
I have had a beard in some form or way since I was 18.
Okay, all right.
The length you are seeing now,
right,
has been about a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I last trimmed it down in October, and then I've had a little maintenance on it. This is about the longest I'm going to have it go. I don't want to be Matt Cross level, because he has probably the best beard in all of pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, I would agree with that.
So this is about the longest I'll get. I'll get it neatened up, but for the most part, it's been about a year of growth.
So what would you say is the one of the favorite matches that you've had? If you could give us maybe one, two, or three of some of the more memorable matches that you've had.
I love my first match I had with Crimson from Prime Wrestling. It was the first time he and I ever got in the ring together, like in a match. And it was a lot of fun, and he had a lot of great ideas. And it was really, that match was like my coming out party, so to speak, as a wrestler in Prime. And, you know, he had a lot of great ideas to help me look strong and show my offense that he knew I had, and help start my because the character there was, if you mess with my bandana, I snap.
Mm-hmm.
And that match really helped put that part of the gimmick over, and I thank him for that, because it helped make me look really good. You know?
Did you have fond memories of working Prime? Because I think that's probably, would that be considered your big breakout, that particular run in Prime?
Absolutely. I miss Prime every day, because those shows are so much fun, such a great locker room. And as you can tell, because there's so many guys that are that went from there and are starting to make names for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Johnny Gargano, but guys like Greg Iron, Facade is got a little bit of a buzz going on in the indie scene. And then Eric Ryan, who's always one of my favorite guys to watch, Boone, myself, Nate Matson. I mean, that from top to bottom, that locker room was not only one of the coolest locker rooms to be in, but it was also one of the most talented.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank Joe Dombrowski all the time for helping me get into Prime.
So If I may, I'm going to refer to a tweet that you tweeted out, I don't know, a few months ago, because I'm curious of the story behind this. Did you actually see Morse Day and the Time?
I did.
Like in an actual performance, or were they just hanging out somewhere?
No, I went and saw Morse Day and the Time live.
How was that?
Amazing. I love Morse Day and the Time. Purple Rain is one of the most underrated movies of the 80s. Fantastic film. And they came to Toledo for we have a rib cook-off every year.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to Toledo, and I was like, I gotta go. I have to go. So I took a half day at my regular job and went and saw him at the rib-off. And it was absolutely incredible.
I assume that they played all the hits.
They did. Of course, they saved their big their high spots for the last two songs of the night. They played Jungle Love and The Bird.
Yes.
Awesome. But personal highlight was Gigolos Need Love Too. That's
that's awesome. I'm actually envious. I do enjoy the Morse Day.
If you get a chance to see Morse Day and the Time, go see them. They are awesome.
All right, couple questions here since we're getting up on about 40 minutes here, but a couple of last questions. Just out of curiosity, who would win in a fight, you or Rick Castle, aka Nathan Fillion?
Just based on the size difference, I gotta say me.
Okay.
And sure, he might have a right cross, but you know what? If I get him on the ground, it's ground and pound all day.
Okay, there you go. Question answered.
Whenever, a lot of people introduce me just as Castle. A lot of people know me solely as Castle now.
Sure.
So when I say that, that's the first thing they're saying, oh, like the TV show? I was like, yeah, sure.
And you're like, damn it, yes.
Yeah.
I got
never
you.
Never saw the show a day in my life, but yeah, sure, whatever works for you, bud.
Yeah, gotcha. It's funny about names because, yeah, I don't have a first name at shows. It's always Orlando.
Come here. Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, yeah, you know. So it's weird how that is, you know, it's, you become that name.
I actually had this conversation this weekend because I always backstage of shows I always introduce myself by my real name.
Sure.
And that's just how I've always been. And a buddy of mine asked me, he's like, "Do you introduce yourself by your real name all the time?" I was like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "Why do you do that?" He's like, "Well, because I feel like a giant D-bag if I just say, hey, I'm Brian Castle, nice to meet you."
Right.
Sure, sounds like a real name, but it's not my real name.
You know what? And I was brought in when I started years ago that I was told you don't do that. You know,
right?
So it just so happens that my first name and both my first names, John and John, is legit. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, definitely, I was just always taught that's the respectful thing to do. Don't be a mark for yourself in the back.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks.
All right, now here we go. It's time to play everyone's favorite game. Well, okay, I've only done this once before, so we'll just say it's time to play Benny Boone's favorite game. It is the game called Tag, Feud, or Job. So, Mr. Castle, here we go. I'm going to throw out three names of wrestlers, past or present. You must explain which one you would like to tag with, which one you'd like to feud with, and which one you'd like to job to. Now, wait a minute. There's a couple of twists. When I'm referring to these three things, tag, feud, and job, it is for an extended period of time. So it would be, you know, several months worth of tagging or feuding. And it would also be, in the job category, a complete and utter, like, debacle. Like, you're not getting any of your shit in. It's going to be a few second squash, okay? But you're going to do that repeatedly night after night after night, okay?
All right.
All right, so here we go. I will throw out the three names. You figure out which one you'd like to tag with, feud with, and job to.
Okay.
You got Bastion Booger. Michael P.S. Hayes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And everyone's favorite on Twitter, Virgil.
So tag,
huge job. I can tell you right now, I'm not going to job to Virgil. That's just not going to happen. and these guys, all in their prime.
Yes. So we're talking about these three gentlemen in the prime of their career.
Well, then I guess I'll say I'll feud with Michael PSA.
Okay. Why do you pick him for the feud?
Because I was a big Freebirds fan, you know, once I started, like, actually watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael P.S. Hayes was one of the most technically sound, most charismatic, you know, the guy could just go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was great on the mic. And I think that feud would be a feud where I would learn a lot.
All right.
And then I would job to Bastion Booger. Because I would.
Okay.
Because Bastion Booger, he's highly underrated. He got stuck with a really bad gimmick.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he was an awesome big man.
If I may interject, I think people should go back in the WWE catalog or YouTube or whatever and see Bastion Booger's run in Stampede. I mean,
absolutely, yeah. He was huge in Canada, you know, and I think I'm pretty sure he even had a little run in WCW. But, you know, as the Bastion Booger character, I think jobbing out to him would be easy, and, it'd be fun simply because I think there'd be a lot of comedy, you know what
okay.
I mean? And, I'm a big guy, a big fan of comedic wrestling, obviously. And so I guess that leaves me to tag with Virgil simply because I have no other choice. And simply because I would smack Virgil around and make him take the heat all the time.
Enough said. I noticed there's a little disdain for Virgil.
And, you know, it's not that it's disdain. It's just like that the guy is so full of himself, and it's just funny to watch.
Yeah,
know?
I agree. All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. So as we start to wrap things up here, Mr. Castle, where can fans get in touch with you in terms of social media?
You know, I'm very easy to get in touch with. Obviously, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. That's the same handle. It's at Brian, Bryan, _ Castle. I also have a Facebook, Brian Castle. And then for any promoters who want to use me on your shows, please feel free to contact me through any one of those three platforms. Or I also have an email where you can contact me, briancastlebookings@gmail.com.
All right, man. Well, cool. Hey, with that, is there anything else you want to say to any of the fans out there that are listening?
I always try and say thank you, because without the fans, there's no us. You know, if you guys don't show up, we have no one to wrestle in front of, and there's no more shows. So, the outpouring of support from the fans for my character, and the outpouring of support for Bearded for Your Pleasure has been awesome, and I greatly appreciate it.
All right, well, fans, with that, Mr. Castle, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man.
I hope it was fun for you.
It was. We'll have to do it again sometime, for sure.
You got it. You got it, most definitely. All right, so, listeners, I'm going to throw it to a very quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to wrap up this awesome episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Mr. Brian Castle. As you can definitely tell, Brian's very passionate about wrestling. Obviously, his ideas and his theories on how the independent wrestling scene should work in the state of Ohio are, well, maybe controversial, but certainly gives you food for thought to think about how things work at this particular level. But definitely check him out on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and if you see him at a show, give him a hug, because gosh darn it, he is the most huggable wrestler on the face of the planet. If I could hug one store in Columbus, you know what store I would hug? I would hug Big Fun Columbus. Why, you ask? because it's the greatest place to go for all of your toy needs. Whether you want to buy toys, whether you want to sell toys, whether you just want to walk around the store and relive your past and take a trip down memory lane and go, oh man, I remember this, I remember that. Well, Big Fun Columbus is the place to go. 672 North High Street is where you can stop on by and visit the great guys and gals of Big Fun Columbus. If you want to check them out online, all you got to do is go to facebook.com/BigFunColumbus or check them out on Twitter @BigFunColumbus. I guarantee that if you do, you're not going to be disappointed. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump on into what I like to call Orlando's Faves. There you go. I'm going to tell you about a couple of things that I think is cool, I think is awesome, I think you should check it out. And man, oh man, I know I haven't been on the airwaves in a while because of my health issues and whatnot. So I've been stockpiling lots of Orlando's Faves. So here we go. We got two for this episode. Number 82 here of the PVD cast. The first one is an online article. It's an article that I tweeted out. And if you missed that tweet, go back onto my Twitter page, @PVDMVP, and look for it. It's from the Sport Buzz. It is the 17 greatest tag teams in professional wrestling history. Now, it came across my news feed when I was messing around on the internet. And to be honest, I hate these type of countdowns because there's always like some jackass stupid answer on, you know, whatever, the 17 greatest movies or the 17 greatest defensemen of the NHL or whatever. There's always like some stupid selection that you're going, what? Get the hell out of here. But I got to give credit to the author of this particular list. And you'll have to forgive me, I don't remember the author's name, but all 17 of these tag teams are legit. They should be on this list. There's not one where you go, what? The New Age Outlaws, get the hell out of here. By the way, they are not on that list. That's why I can definitely say this is probably a very good list to check out. And, you know, I'm not going to ruin who number one is according to this particular author, but I totally agree with it. Nonetheless, there's not a team on there where you go, no. So definitely check that out. Go over to my Twitter page, @PVDMVP. It's linked right there. I think I actually even tried to draw attention to it by writing in all caps, all wrestling fans, you must check this article out. So definitely do it and enjoy it. And then, you know, maybe you'll let me know whether you agree with my synopsis or not of the list. But the second fave is a new radio station here in Columbus, Ohio. Now, when I tell you what the format is, some of you might go, huh? But those folks that know me know that I am a big fan of old school classic hip hop. And that's right, my fave is Boom 106.3 FM here in Columbus. Now, some of you might go, John, this sounds like an awesome radio station, and it is. They play all the throwback jams. You know, NWA, Public Enemy, Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, Tribe Called Quest, even throw out some old R&B like Mary J. Blige, Montel Jordan, BBD. Oh, it's awesome, man. It's just an awesome radio station. It's just like a throwback to simpler times, if you will. But if you're not here in Columbus, if you're listening to me somewhere else in the state or somewhere else in the country, you can check them out online. Go to boomcolumbus.com. In fact, I'll probably put a link over on pvdcast.com for you to check it out if you're interested. Again, it's an awesome radio station, and I found it a couple weeks ago, and I am digging it. Yeah, I mean, love it. Love it. That's all I can say. Enough said. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to where you can get in touch with me. I've already told you, PVDMVP is the Twitter handle. It's also where you can find me on Instagram. And if you want to shoot me an email because you don't want to limit yourself to a picture or 140 characters, you can do so by shooting me an email. Just go to johnorlando@pvdcast.com and click send. There you go. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. I want to say I appreciate you all listening. I'm glad to be back, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.